Our first lesson is from the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, verses 14 to 21. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. I pray that, according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is in the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
So we heard the prayer that Paul had for the church in Ephesus. I love the end of that prayer where he says that God is able to abundantly do far more than we ask or can imagine. And too often we don't ask enough and we don't have a wild enough imagination. But our God is all powerful and able to work great and grand things if we but will ask and be willing to do and go where God leads us. We want to read now the gospel lesson, which comes from the Gospel of Matthew and is part of the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 6, 9 through 15. This is Jesus speaking. Pray then in this way. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. This is the word of the Lord. So as I mentioned, we're continuing to look at the Sermon on the Mount, and today we focus on the Lord's Prayer. It's a prayer we're all familiar with. I suspect, I know we pray it every Sunday here in church, but I also suspect that many of you maybe pray it every day, or at least pray it other times during the week. But how often do we pray this prayer and not really understand what we're praying for? What are we asking? And often I think we just say the words and we don't reflect on their meaning. And so today I want us to look closely at what we are actually praying for. Now the context of this prayer is in the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus has just said, do not practice your piety in order to be seen by others. And then he gives examples. He says, don't be giving your alms to the poor so that they'll see you do it and think, oh, how wonderful and generous you are. And that those that you give to might feel like they're indebted to you. Do your giving in secret. And then he talks about prayer. Don't be praying out in public with these beautiful, exquisite prayers that impress everybody with how religious you are. Go into your closet and pray in secret. And then he also says, don't think you're going to impress God with your long prayers. God's not impressed by that. And then he says the Lord's Prayer. Following that, he gives a short commentary on forgiveness. And then he gives that last example of not practicing your piety before others. And he talks about fasting. So we're going to look at the Lord's Prayer. And, oh, what you might notice, no, I'll get to that in a moment. The prayer, I think, can be divided into two sections with three parts in each section. And the first part deals primarily with God, so our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Those are the three parts. And then the second part deals with our relationship with God and God taking care of our needs. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Notice what is missing. For thine is the power and the glory. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. That wasn't in the original writings of Matthew, nor was it in the writings of Luke when he also gave the Lord's Prayer in a different context of when the disciples came to Jesus and said, teach us to pray. So this was obviously added later, but I think it's a wonderful end to the prayer because it gets us refocusing back on who God is and what God is about. And so it's a wonderful end to the prayer, and I highly recommend it. But because it's not in the original part of the prayer, we're not going to look at it other than what I just said about it. So let's break it down. First section, part one, our Father who art in heaven. Notice the word our. This is a collective prayer. It's not my Father, but it's our Father. We do this together. We pray this together. Sure, you can pray it individually, but it is a corporate prayer. Our Father. I don't believe God has a gender. But God, or rather Jesus, lived in a time and place that was very patriarchal. And Father was a masculine term, and they tended to use masculine terms. Now, something to recognize is that even in that time and day, they didn't really refer to, the Jews did not refer to God as a parent, a father. They spoke about, they addressed God in different ways. And I think what Jesus is getting at here is that we have a very personal, intimate relationship with God, like a parent to a child. And God loves us as a parent loves a child. And that we can enter into talking with God in this way. Recently, I've started kind of changing the way in my private prayers I address God. I call God Papa now. It was a term that was one of my grandfathers, and I like it, and it's comfortable, and it helps me to feel closer to God. That God is a loving parent. And so you can call God something else. But what we recognize is that it is a personal relationship that we have with God. Next phrase in the thing is, hallowed be thy name. Do you see this as the first petition of the prayer? Or do you see it as just kind of describing who God is? I see it as a petition. We are praying that God's name might be hallowed. And what that means is that God might be holy. That we might recognize God's goodness and God's greatness and God's power and who God is. And we recognize this and we want to proclaim it. And we pray that it will be proclaimed. And the way this prayer is answered is by the way that God is using us. The way that God is transforming our lives and then using us to touch other people's lives. So hallowed be thy name. And then thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We pray for God's kingdom to come. Jesus came saying the kingdom of God is near. The kingdom, sometimes it's the kingdom of God is here. I like to, what it's saying is the kingdom is here now, but it's not here fully. And so we're praying for that the kingdom will come fully here. The way I like to describe the kingdom of God is the kingdom of God is wherever the king reigns. Wherever the king is ruling, there you find the kingdom. If God is reigning in your heart, there's the kingdom. If God's reigning in this church, here's the kingdom. So wherever the kingdom reigns, wherever the king reigns, there is the kingdom. But we're praying for it to come in its fullness. And that will come when Christ returns. But then we're also saying, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How often do you pray when you pray and you ask for something, you say, according to your will, or thy will be done? Because often we don't know what God's will is. We want to pray, and we hope that we're praying according to God's will, but we don't always know. And so we ask, Lord, let it be according to your will. Because what I ultimately want is your will to be done, not necessarily mine. And we often find this, we do this when we pray for someone who's sick. Because we pray for a healing. We pray for either a miraculous healing, or a healing that comes from medicine, or a healing that comes from doctors, or surgery, or even the ultimate healing, when we shed these old bodies of ours and we take on our new heavenly body, the ultimate healing. So we're praying that God's will might be done, even if we don't know what it is. And the way I like to do this prayer, this section of the prayer is, God, Lord, your kingdom come here on earth, come now, or let me get straight here, getting ahead of myself in some ways. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it already is being done in heaven. Because God's will is perfect and at work in heaven, and we're waiting for that perfect and will of God to be done here on earth, for God's kingdom to come. And now we move to the second section of the prayer. And we pray for our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, most of us don't worry about what we're going to eat today. Or they worry about, well, exactly what we're going to eat, but we're not worried that we're not going to eat. If we go to your house and look in your refrigerator, we'll find a bunch of food, most likely. We open your pantry, there'll be food. You may have a freezer that's full of food. I don't suspect we worry about what we're going to eat today. We have plenty of food to last 2-3 days, maybe even a week or more. But in Jesus' day, they had no refrigeration. They had no preservatives. They had no canned goods. They would make the food for what they would eat that day. If they made for more than that, it likely could go bad. They could get sick, and nobody would want that. So they pray for their daily food. But when Jesus is talking about bread, and give us this day our daily bread, he's talking about more than just food. He's talking about what we need to survive each and every day. So we need our food, but we need our shelter. We need safety. Perhaps we need transportation, our family protection, and just all kinds of what do we need to survive this day. And we trust that God will provide it, and we don't get anxious about tomorrow. We trust God to provide for what we need today. And then the next section is forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. The New Revised Standard Version said it, forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. Somehow there's a connection between our forgiving others and God forgiving us. And at the end of the prayer, Jesus gave and went a little further and gave a little more of a commentary on forgiveness. He said, if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive your trespasses. But if you do not forgive them, then your heavenly Father will not forgive you. There's very much a connection there. Now, we could take a whole sermon series and talk about forgiving others. It's an important lesson. But for today, let me suffice it to say, we need to be forgiving others. And I suspect there are people that you find hard to forgive. You don't want to forgive. You would rather see them suffer. You want them to suffer. You want God's judgment to zap them. I'm reminded of a cartoon that used to be in the papers many years ago. It was one of my favorite ones. It was called Kudzu. And one of the characters was the Reverend Will Be Done. And one particular day, the paper, you had Reverend Will Be Done on his knees praying. And he said, "Lord, smite my enemies. Strike them down. In fact, Lord, I want you to zap with lightning my own worst enemy." And you see this, the next thing is the lightning zapping. And then the next frame is Reverend Will Be Done on his knees, all burnt. And he's saying, "Let me rephrase that." We are supposed to forgive, even when we don't want to forgive. And I would suggest to you that we forgive first in our mind. We forgive first with our will, even though our heart may not be in it yet. And that may mean we may have to decide to forgive over and over and over again, because the heart is not there. But we make that decision to forgive. And then I would suggest, and then we wait for the heart to change. And I believe that comes as part of God's grace to us. And one of the ways to help that happen is to pray for the person. Don't pray God's judgment on them, but pray God's blessing upon them. Pray for God's well-being to be with them. Pray that God would make God's self very evident to them. Pray for their well-being. And I think as we do that, our hearts begin to change. And then maybe what we do up here aligns with how we feel here. It's not easy. I agree. Not easy. But somehow our own forgiveness is connected with our forgiving others. And then we prayed, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." The New Revised Version said something about, you know, keeping us from trials. I don't believe God tempts us. There are enough temptations out there. God doesn't need to. We don't need God's help in finding temptations. But we are asking God to lead and guide us so that we might avoid those temptations. If you're dieting, you don't want to be walking down the candy aisle all the time. Stay in the produce section. How do we stay away from temptation? We ask God to guide us so that we stay away from there. But then we ask for deliverance from evil, and we know that there's evil in the world. There are evil in individuals. There's evil in mobs and groups. There's evil in some government. I think there's probably some evil in every government, but there's some that are worse than others. There's evil in systems that operate within society. And there are times, when Christians need to say enough is enough, and we stand up against the evil that is there. And we say we will not cooperate. We will stand against this. And it's in those times that we pray, "Deliver us from evil," because we need that deliverance. Today is the first Sunday in Lent. Lent is the 40 days leading up to Easter, not counting Sundays. Sundays are considered resurrection days. But Ash Wednesday was the first day of Lent, 40 days. I have a suggestion for you. I would invite you to pray the Lord's Prayer every day during Lent. And I would suggest that you maybe get a piece of paper and start writing down what you pray. Because maybe as you pray it, you rewrite it in other words that have maybe convey the same meaning. Or you write commentary on it. you might think about, what does it mean that we're praying, this is a corporate prayer, our Father? Or what does it mean that God is a loving parent? And you write that down. And I would suggest that you will find different things that open up to you different days. Some things might be really stand out to you one day that maybe didn't stand out another day. But as you write it down, you can kind of keep up with that. I want to close reading what I did. I did this in August. Would write my prayers, using the Lord's Prayer as my model. And some days were longer than other days. I picked a shorter one just because I didn't want it to go on too long. But this is from August 6th of last year. And as I read it, you'll hear how it kind of follows the way of the Lord's Prayer. But it doesn't really use necessarily the language of the prayer. My very good Father, who loves me more than I can imagine, may I lift up and give honor to your name. May I be seeking your kingdom and your will in my life and in all that I do. May I trust that you have provided all that I need for today and not worry about tomorrow. Thank you for forgiving me my sins. May I be as gracious to others. Protect me from temptation, trials, and evil. Provide me with your Holy Spirit so that I may remain faithful in all things. May I keep in mind and in view your kingdom, your power, and your glory. Amen.